One.
Sorry to have held you up. Sean, can you? I'll call the meeting to order. And Sean, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Let me get going here. Okay, Chuck Daggs. Pretty sure.
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm here.
Chuck, Dina Corin.
Here.
Fia Oman.
Here.
Ian Connell.
Here.
John Flaherty.
Here.
JP Anderson. JP Anderson.
I don't see JP here.
Okay. Nora Curvello.
I'm here.
Shara Hegde.
Here.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Yes, present.
Okay.
Quorum is present, Sean?
Yes, quorum is present.
The meeting is taking place via, sorry about the, what sounds like a child crying. It's a cat we're taking care of. The meeting is taking place via teleconference pursuant to executive orders N25-20 and N29-20. We're meeting Zoom or via telephone. Individuals, members of the public who wish to attend and comment during the meeting can use the raise hand tool and are invited to confirm their intent to comment prior to the meeting by calling the number 831-217-4894. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If an interpreter is needed, comments will be translated into English and the time limit shall be 6 minutes. The board may limit the total time at its discretion allotted for public comments and set new time limits for individual comments. The board reserves the right to mute and remove a participant from the meeting if the participant unreasonably disrupts the meeting. Thanks very much. We'll move to item number one. Sean, are there any public comments?
There are no public comments.
Is there anyone from the public attending who we should recognize besides the faculty and staff?
I'm not aware of any public guests. Okay.
Then I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the previous regular board meeting that was held on June 14th of this year. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So move.
Hearing a motion by Chuck, do I hear a second?
Victor seconds.
Thank you, Victor. Any discussion or corrections, amendments to the minutes? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Sean, can you call the roll, please, to approve
Chuck
the
minutes?
Aye.
Dina Corin?
Aye.
Fia Oman?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
I don't see him online anymore.
Oh, okay. John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Curvello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
And is Ian back?
No.
Okay. The motion
passes. Thank you.
It's approved, yes.
Moving to the topical items and the reason why we're here today, and again, for the record, thank you to all the members who have taken time out of their post July 4th Tuesday. And we're all trying to catch up to join this meeting. We'll try and keep it relatively brief. The first is the declaration of need for qualified educators. Kevin, you're recognized.
Hi, thank you. And I just want to echo John's appreciation for everyone coming together today. I'm going to pass the mic to our Director of Schools and HR, Melissa Alatorre-Alnis, to give a little brief background here, and then we'll go from there. So, Melissa.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. And I will double ditto and echo what Kevin and John just said, and hope that you all had a great weekend and holiday. And thank you for making it a point to be here tonight. Human resources definitely appreciates it. And before I introduce the Declaration of Need memo, I just want to introduce all of you board members to Annie Stevens, our human resources coordinator, and my amazing partner in the HR department. So welcome, Annie, to your first board meeting.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you all.
All righty. John. All right.
Go ahead, Melissa.
So as you've read in the board memo, the Commission on Teacher Credentialing issued a credential information alert regarding charter school requirements with the Declaration of Need.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. And just to give you a little more background, this is something that the commission has required of school districts for many years now. And with the recent passing of AB 1505, the CTC, the Commission on Teacher Credentialing, has now gotten around to begin requiring charter schools, charter school organizations to submit a board approved declaration of need on an annual basis. And with this declaration of need on file with the Commission on Teacher Credentialing, we will be able to apply for limited assignment permits and emergency permits for our teachers. Does anyone have any questions about this memo or the declaration of need process?
Just a quick question on the interns. It looks like that was I don't actually know much about credentialing, but it seems like that was prevalent for all of the network schools. And I just was wondering, is that just a structural part of our program and we just formalize it through this process, or is that something special for this year?
For interns, those go through credential programs, so university programs. The declaration of need is for any type of limited assignment permits or emergency permits. So those are going to be the folks right before an intern credential.
So I just was trying to understand the last page of the need declaration. Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah, of the form itself, that they do ask us to list the amount of interns, but the declaration of need doesn't in any way, it's not needed to have intern teachers at our schools.
Okay, so why do we do the declaration of need for schools that had no other relevant like specialty information? Like, I don't actually know what I'm reading, but it looked like the only school that had a unique need for a single subject credential that maybe did not have that credential was Gilroy Prep.
Right. Yeah.
Blank.
Right. So the declaration of need is required to be submitted to the CTC for emergency permits, and those aren't listed on the form. So emergency permits, meaning PIPs and STIPs, provisional internship permit and short-term staff permit. We don't list those on the form, but the CTC needs that form in hand in order to approve those for Navigator schools, which we thought the same thing. It looks a little funny, but it's still a requirement on the CTC's end.
I was just going to add that, like Dina, there's and board, there's actually a few facts about this form needing to be on file or just the form in general that don't really make sense. But we know that it has to be on file. We don't have to list the emergencies, but it does have to be on file. And we double checked with the CTC just to make sure.
Thank you, Dina. Okay. Any other questions? Sorry.
Any other questions? No, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for, unless Kevin, do you have any other comments regarding the declaration?
No, I think it was handled very well by staff. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, staff. Do I hear a motion to approve the declaration.
So move.
This is Nora, I'll second.
Any further discussion or questions regarding the declaration of need for qualified educators? Hearing none, Sean, will you call the vote for the board's approval of the declaration?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Dina Corrin?
Aye.
Fia Oman?
Aye.
Ian Connell? John Flaherty?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Shar Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion to approve the declaration is approved.
Thank you. Just a note, Kevin and I have talked again. I want to thank the board for agreeing to meet with scheduled at the last meeting to meet in the regular board meeting on this date. This has been a year and a half where a lot of deadlines have popped up at the last minute that the board has had to respond to, and the staff has done a good job working them. Kevin has sort of keenly observed that we will try and get those down and include those on the regular meetings in the future to avoid, as things sort of return to the new normal, as they say, we'll try and build these deadlines in to avoid these meetings. But once again, thank you for meeting to meet the deadline. We'll move to number two, item B, which is a review of the Navigator School's strategic plan. This one, there's a couple of things to talk about it, including the consideration of the AB 1505, and also whether or not the board would like to schedule a meeting on the strategic plan, not only for the benefit of developing or affirming aspects of the plan, but for sort of allowing the newer members to ask questions and to possibly gain some history on why we are where we were and where we were pre-pandemic, and why, how we're gonna get back to that point. Having said that, Kevin, do you want to include some comments?
Yes, thank you, John. And yes, thank you all for being here. And we definitely wanted to keep this meeting short, as was promised at the June meeting. And at the June meeting, we did have on the agenda a review of this, of the strategic plan, partly because it's something that we just should be doing on a regular basis anyway. But also in thinking about now that we are kind of entering back into a post, well, we're still in the pandemic, but we're gonna have students on site and getting closer to being what was normal for us before, we definitely wanna look back to our strategic growth plan, because the board approved our plan a few years ago with the anticipation that we would grow to 5 schools. I'm getting a signal that my internet is unstable. Am I coming through okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And that growth plan would have taken us to 5 schools, 5 TK to 8 schools. One big adjustment in that in the last couple of years was the approval of the from the state for AB 1505, which made a growth pathway a lot more challenging for charter schools. And so one avenue that charter schools are looking to continue to support growth and also strengthen the current charter schools that are maybe at a smaller scale than Navigator is to look at consolidation or merger acquisition, looking at that as a concept or as a way to strengthen a network, which could include both the single site operator getting stronger by being part of a bigger network and the network benefiting from the strengths of another charter school. If you don't know, Shara is not only the CEO of Alpha Public Schools, she's also the founding executive director of Cornerstone Prep. And Cornerstone was a single operator that joined the Alpha's network. So when John Glover was CEO at Alpha and Shara was the executive director of Cornerstone, they saw the potential for strengthening both of their organizations by combining their organizations into one. So this is something that we think Navigator should be open to considering if the right partner for merging came along. And so, John, I don't know if you want me to share any more about that at this point, but I think in general, that's the concept. I'll pause there, John, and see if you want me to share any more.
Yeah, I would simply say before asking you to share some brief history and refresher for all of us, the original plan was to expand to a fourth school prior to Watsonville, and specifically a school down in Salinas to open there. And then we, as Kevin said, the political winds shifted, as well as the healthcare winds. The Salinas, opening the school in Salinas sort of moved down the calendar. And now the plan includes a serious review of the political environment and the sort of the geography, political geography of the area before opening the school. We were caught a bit flat-footed on Watsonville and right at that moment when things were shifting, and we were lucky to get approval and we don't want to get caught short again. As Kevin had indicated in the past, we were looking at schools in Salinas to acquire, sort of short sheet the process. And there was a candidate that we looked at, but it sort of turned itself around, strengthened itself. And given the the shift in political winds, it sort of became a candidate that was really no longer healthy. There is a school that Kevin has I don't want to say a non-disclosure, but has been asked to keep it relatively quiet. And it's up in the South Bay, or not the South Bay, but the East Bay. And it looks like a potential candidate. And so, I asked Kevin if he could talk as much as he could about it, because going back to Nora's point, we want to keep the board informed as much as we can, so that when we get to issues to talk about it out and honor our business privacy in a public meeting, that the board is as informed as possible. So Kevin, do you want to talk a little bit about the potential candidate with respect to a merger or acquisition?
Yes, thanks, John. I'll say that this is an organization that is very much a cultural fit with Navigator, very much a programmatic instructional fit with Navigator, and an organization that we've had a relationship with for a number of years. And as a single site operator, the concern about this type of dialogue being out in the public domain prior to their organization really being ready to address it is not a place we want them to be. At the same time, we are getting, we have had a number of conversations moving us towards the opportunity to possibly come before you in August to bring a proposal forward from a consulting firm that both the other organization and myself, along with Kirsten, have been exploring bringing on a consultant to support a due diligence process here. So that is our current, the current situation. And I'll just add that this is an, I was asked by somebody like, is this an opportunity driving strategy, or is this a strategy driving opportunity? Some of you may know where that quote or that question came from. Our former board member, John Glover, who's also kind of been advising me on this along with Kirsten and the other executive director involved in the discussions. So we've thought about that a lot, and we know our strategy for growth has come before this, and this is a potential opportunity that is a new and different than what we had in our plan. And I feel like it's very much aligned with the plan, though it does take us a bit out of our earlier region that we specified. But there are so many positives associated. We do believe, you know, pursuing it further along to bring the opportunity for the board to have a deeper discussion on this and possibly approving us to move forward on a due diligence effort is a pathway we are pursuing, and with the hope that, you know, we could talk more openly and freely during our August meeting about you know, the potential benefits and the potential challenges as well.
Thanks, Kevin. It all sounds a bit cryptic, but we're honoring a request by the potential school. It is, I think it, from what I understand, the school's mission is very similar to Navigators. The school is well known to Navigator staff and well regarded, as is the leadership and personnel. Some of you likely already know it by how I'm describing it. If some of you are mystified, you could talk to Shara, Ian, or Kevin on an individual basis with your individual questions. And I would suspect you would be able to, we would be able to therefore avoid any issues with respect to the Brown Act. I would say this, we are going to put this, we are going to put the agenda out for the August meeting much earlier than we would normally put it out, so that we can include the documents that this would involve. So you have plenty of time to digest it and figure out questions for the discussion. Again, this it sounds uneven in information, but we're really sort of straining to take advantage of a potential opportunity, as well as give the board plenty of notice in terms of information and what we want to do. Are there questions for Kevin?
John, I would just wonder what the best setting is for like genuine and robust discussion about this. I do feel like these meetings sometimes feel a little like we need to sort of move at a good clip, and there's this sort of there's not an opportunity for like real engagement, and maybe it makes more sense to do it in person. And so I don't know if there's a way where we can set a time where people can come down and get together and really have a sort of like a better opportunity for dialogue. But I do worry with this kind of decision that having it in this setting feels a little bit mechanical. And I think it's important to figure out what the right forum is so that we can avoid that.
Yes, and I think this is more to put all of us, and it's a very good point. Thanks, Gina. The requirements like the declaration that sort of and other deadlines, as I mentioned earlier, have been sort of directing the schedule in some instances. What I'm trying to do here is to alert everyone that August will be that substantial meeting and discussion, that materials will be substantial to read them in advance so that we can have those sorts of discussions I think you're deciding or describing. And also, I like the idea of being able to find a place where we can meet in person to do this. And if that includes, I think under the current situation, we're able to, aren't we, Kevin, in terms of healthcare rules?
Yes, John, we would be able to meet in person. Amy, am I correct in that? Amy's been one of our resident experts on the COVID rules.
You are correct in that we can meet in person, and there are guidelines that we would have to follow, depending if you're vaccinated, unvaccinated, or don't want to answer that question, the setting, all of that. But yes, we are able to meet in person.
Yeah. Okay. And Dina, what I'd like to do, and board, what I'd like to do is schedule the August meeting for an in-person meeting, with the idea that if people are not comfortable yet or unable to make it to a location, that we can hybrid the meeting and have people zoom in terms of the meeting. Staff, does that present any particular problems, or does that work?
Yes, John, that we can accommodate the hybrid meeting like we used to normally. And we would propose doing that meeting if possible in Watson, the August 24th meeting in Watsonville, if that worked for the board members, so that we could perhaps, you know, prior to the meeting, take anybody on a tour of the 407 building, if that would be desirable.
I'll pose a question and like to get a sense of the board. Would the board like to, because of the substance of this meeting, sort of folding into the strategic plan as well as the this issue of a particular acquisition coming up with, is it the board's sense that they would like to meet in Gilroy for purposes of location and in a deeper dive meeting, or would they like to meet in Watsonville, have that kind of meeting, but also have the choice of having a tour prior to the meeting? What's the sense of the board?
Before we talk about that, John, is there anyone on this call who has, maybe Shar or someone has the expertise around requirements for meeting? Because I think we have to meet in the county where we have the most ADA, which means we can't meet at Watsonville. Is that true or not true?
I would say that will be true. After what we can verify with our legal okay. counsel, Shar, you're right. We have not interpreted it as ADA, but enrollment, because that's what is actually okay. written in the statute. So yeah, Watsonville would not be where we could hold our regular meetings post September 30th.
Okay.
But I am thinking that up until then, we're actually able to still meet virtually. So it would seem to reason that we could be able to meet in a location other than that one with the highest enrollment, but I will verify that prior, you know, within a week or so.
Is that a 6 o'clock meeting?
That's what's currently scheduled.
All right. Okay.
And, you know, not trying to do too much on the location, we could schedule a separate opportunity for board members to visit, you know, the new building as well. So it doesn't have to correlate with this specific time either.
I also, I don't know the geography well enough, and I also don't know the regulations well enough, but if it's, I think it's the county in which you have the most enrollment. Is that right, Kevin? So I don't know if there's like, we can see the Watsonville space and then meet just over the border in Santa Clara County, or I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah, I think we would meet in Watsonville if we can determine if it's okay, if it works for everyone, we would be able to meet in Watsonville, but not try to get back to Santa Clara County because that's about a 25-minute drive up a hill. And we probably want to try to split that if we had to meet in Santa Clara County. But assuming that it is still okay to meet outside of Santa Clara County, given the special exemptions right now, I think the question would be, does that make sense for the board members to hold that next meeting in Watsonville?
Comments, recommendations from board members?
I'm good with either. I will say, as a frequent commuter between closer to the Hollister School and San Jose for work, the commute has gotten probably 40% worse since before COVID. It's at least an hour from South San Jose to my house in San Juan Bautista most days of the week at rush hour. So just keep that in mind. It's a lot worse than it used to be.
Yeah. Other comments? My view is, as much as I want to see the Watsonville school, and again, this is strictly as a board member, sans chair, this is, as Dean was suggesting tonight and in the last meeting, this is, we're going to go through and discuss the strategic plan. And then we're going to talk about a potential acquisition. I think it's important that we focus on that and that we make it as convenient as possible, as central as possible for our board members, both in terms of the ones coming down from the peninsula or other places. And I would say that unless there's a reason to have the Watsonville tour this time, to stay safe and or stay at a central location and go to Gilroy. Comments on that?
No, I agree. That makes a lot of sense. We're going to need every bit of that 3 hours, if not more.
Yeah, I agree as well. The only question I would raise is these are two very, very beefy topics. I don't think we could go through this thoughtfully and thoroughly in 2 hours. The strategic plan as well as the potential acquisition.
Right. I would point taken. And I think what we'll do is look at what we can talk about with the acquisition, sort of in the sense of focusing on the strategic plan, which would be the first item to talk about. And the issues there, and then see what we have remaining and how that plugs into the particulars of the acquisition. We don't have to decide on the acquisition. I think we're just in a place to provide the board with more information in the August meeting. Would you agree, Kevin?
I do agree, John. What we're hoping to have approved would be a consulting contract to move forward with the due diligence phase. That being said, like, this will require significant time, effort, and energy from leadership at Navigator, from the potential partner organization, as well as at least a subcommittee of our board who will be deeply engaged, and then clearly all of our board members in any further, you know, deliberation down the road. So, you know, wouldn't it make sense to pursue a due diligence effort if there wasn't a lot of alignment around this, around the board and wanting to see this go forward in the event that it can go forward successfully? So, you know, I think the time is going to be really important and the materials will be really important to help people be prepared. And John, just one other thing to note, we our regular meetings are scheduled for 3 hours. We shorted them to 2 during the COVID times because of Zoom fatigue. So if the board is willing, we could utilize the full time as needed on that next August, on the August board meeting time.
Knowing this board with and with the new members and sort of their drive for information, healthy drive for information, I think we stay with the strategic plan, keep the third hour rather than establish it for 3 hours this time, flexible in terms of flexing for additional time on the back end if we need it. But again, this, as Kevin says, I think if we, what Kevin, it sounds like what you're looking for in a negotiation process would be to green light the beginning of a due diligence process, but no other decisions besides that. Is that true?
Yes.
Chuck, do you think we can manage that in 2+?
I think the two topics obviously complement each other. I mean, you got to talk about this from a strategic perspective, the acquisition. So if we have that flexibility to go over a little bit, then I think we probably are okay.
Perfect. Good.
What other topics do we have, like a running agenda of things that need to be discussed in August? Like, are there other, sometimes I feel like we've got stuff on the agenda that takes up a lot of time because we just have to get through it.
Yeah, Kevin, I know we have an administrative payroll item that should take all of about 3 or 4 minutes that I think will be on the agenda in August. Is there anything else?
I mean, generally the August meeting will do a brief back to school update because we'll have started school the week before our board meeting. That would include an update on 407. Generally, it's a little too early for us to give numbers on the fiscal year. So we do generally save time in August on our finance report. Is that correct, Amy? Am I remembering correctly? We don't have much to update in August.
No, there will be financials through June 30th.
Okay, prior year.
Yeah.
So we could try to be really efficient with the rest of the time.
Yeah, we'll try and get through it quickly without glossing over the significant stuff and then get to the strategic plan. Victor's financial committee is doing such a good job. We'll just hold Victor responsible. Okay, any further discussion on this, on the agenda? Thank you, Dean and Chuck, for that. That's helpful in terms of getting a compass bearing. Anything else on this? Okay, well, let's take out our strategic plans that we all have, and Sean will put together a package and then we'll send it accordingly with the appropriate notifications go to the Brown Act and go back to what our council was saying last meeting in terms of following those sorts of things and being appropriate. Is there anything else? Is there anything else for the agenda that people want to talk about? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to adjourn.
Says Nora, I'll move.
Okay, do I hear a second?
JP, I'll second.
Okay. And JP, would you, would you just make sure that Sean has the time that you join the meeting or rejoin the meeting, just so that we square that for the minutes?
Yes.
And Sean, can you take a roll call for adjournment, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Here. Or Dina, aye, sorry.
Dina Corrin?
Aye.
Fia Omron?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Tara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Clonia?
Aye.
The motion to adjourn is approved.
Thank you, everyone. And again, thanks for scheduling this. Stay safe for the summer, and we'll see you in August.
You too.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Hey, Sean.